Hi, listening friend. It's Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. A quick shout out before I explain today's broadcast. A few days ago, I reported we needed a little over $5,000 to hopefully reach a break-even point for this Saturday's Community Appreciation Concert. And because of this great business and these fine folks, almost $3,000 more came in. That leaves us just $2,000 more to raise. Special thanks to Doug and Julie Higgins and Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in Paxton. Thanks Ron and Sharon Fernald, Bill and Catherine Scott, Iva Del Van Wingerden, and Richard McClary. Now with co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel leaving for spring break, a few days ago we called up author Jessica Thompson, who just authored Exploring Grace Together, 40 Devotionals for the Family, and you're going to now hear that conversation as Pastor Jason Schiffel opens up our time in prayer.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We know that your mercies and your grace, it's new every single day. And Lord, we know that you have something that you want to share with us this morning through Jessica, through her work, through your Holy Spirit, through the revelation and wisdom that you give us, something you want to share to us today that's new, that will change us, that will help us grow, that will help us move closer to you. And so we ask, Lord, that you would give us soft hearts, that we would stand in our weakness so that we can be strong in your strength, that we would realize this is not about us, but it's all about you and bringing great glory to your Son for his name and for his renown. And so we just lift this time up to you, Lord. We ask that however it is that you'll do what you do with this, you'll carry it on the wind, you'll bring it through radio waves, you'll somehow, Lord, it'll land in the laps of everybody who needs to hear it. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you that we don't have to worry about any of those things. And so we just give this time to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Jessica Thompson, thanks for being available for this edition of Mark and Friends. And co-host Pastor Jason Schiffel has been reading your blogs and singing your praises and talking about this would be a wonderful interview down the road to have. And so I'm glad Crossway has made you available. And I appreciate, as we've been talking on the phone, this is kind of a family affair. You're co-writing with your mom and traveling with her. Your husband's taking care of your three kids, and you're kind of getting everyone involved in your ministry work.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Mark, for having me, and thanks to Jason for reading blogs. Who's got time for that? So thanks, guys, for having me, and I'm happy to be with the Great News Radio family. Yeah, I travel with my mom as her assistant and sell her books. Her name is Elise Fitzpatrick, for those of you who don't know, and we have co-authored one book together that's published right now. It's called Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus Christ. And as we traveled around together speaking on that topic, one of the main questions we would get would people come up to us after we were done speaking and ask us, is there any devotional, is there any way I can teach my children about what you guys have been talking about? And we would have to say we didn't know of one. There is the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones that if you don't have, you should have. It's excellent. But something for older kids that was like a devotional that would talk about everyday circumstances that they would go through and then talk about how the gospel applies to that, we didn't know of one. So I decided to write one, and that's what Exploring Grace Together is.
You know, Jessica, I have to say this. It's kind of funny because I pulled up a sample of your book through iBooks, and I was thumbing through it after I had read one of your blogs. I think it was How to Make Your Kids Hate Devotionals, which my wife and I got a real kick out of. I emailed it out to the church that I pastor, and people didn't read the text but immediately responded back and said, what is this? Have we been spammed somehow? And I said, no, read the book. And then we had a ton of parents come back and say, I needed to be released from trying to do things a certain way. I needed to be released and allow the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. But what struck me is I was reading the foreword to your book, Exploring Grace. And one of the forewords said, it's confession time. It says, it's scarier to lead my kids in devotions than to stand up and preach in front of my entire church. And I experience that every single week. On Thursday morning, I lead a homeschool co-op group where I give them a 5 or 10 minute devotional thought. And then I pastor a church where I get up and preach. I can get up and preach Greek, Hebrew, expositionally teach every single week, and I don't fret about that. I lean in the Holy Spirit, and I just do it. The hair on the back of my neck stands up, and I get cold sweats when I have to get in front of those kids, because I could go, if I say Greek or Hebrew to those kids, they just laugh at me. They don't even know what I'm talking about. And it's the scariest thing. So maybe you could tell us, or tell the parents that are listening, how do we even begin to engage devotionals with our kids? And how do we get over that fear? Because I am fearful when it comes to devotionals with my kids. Number one, because it's their salvation here.
Right.
And the
right.
other part of it is because I know a lot about Scripture, but sometimes I really believe that I struggle with distilling it down into a message where my kids could actually get it.
Right. And I think both of those things sort of reveal the same thing, and that is we think it's all up to us. We think we have to say it just right. And because we love our children so much, we want them to believe the gospel. We want their salvation to be sure. And then we mistakenly take that and think, now I have to do it. So the difference, I think, between preaching to a congregation is you think, you know what, I'm going to do my job here, which is to share this message of grace, and the Holy Spirit has to work. But for some reason, when we sit down with our kids, we think, well, first of all, I think we have some sort of control over them. And so we think, if I can say it just right, I can control this situation enough that I will be able to get my kids to be saved. And we forget it isn't up to us. And like those parents were saying, we need to be released from that. I don't know what it is, if it's just our own pride. I'm not sure. It could be that. It could be our love of control, that we think that we have to, we can somehow force our kids into the kingdom. And that's not how it works. That's a scary place to be in, to think, well, it really isn't up to me, but it's also a place of freedom. And we can just, like you said, when you get up and talk to your congregation, lean into the Holy Spirit. I love that phrase. And that's what we need to be doing with our children when we talk about devotions, doing devotions with them. We lean into him and just say, your will be done. Now, that is scary, again, but at the same time, there's freedom and joy, and we can enjoy doing devotions with our kids instead of expecting them, like I said in my 10 ways to make your kids hate devotions, instead of expecting them to be perfectly still and perfectly quiet and expecting them to act like adults. They're not adults. We can't expect that from them. They're children. And we can also believe and trust the Holy Spirit to work in their lives in ways that we can't force them into. So, again, going back to your question, I don't know if it's a matter of wanting to control, thinking we can control, if it's a matter of fear. I'm not sure what it is, but we've taken family devotions and we've kind of made it into a covenant of works. If I do family devotions with my kids and if I do them just right, they will get saved. Now, that's not true. It just isn't. God would never place that burden on our shoulders, and we can be grateful for that because, quite honestly, we never will do family devotions just right. There will always be ulterior motives in our hearts. We will be distracted. They will be distracted. We're not perfect, but we can rely on, trust, lean into a Holy Spirit who is perfect and has perfect timing.
You know, a number of years ago, 2 years ago, I think it was, my wife went to Hearts at Home conference here in the Bloomington area. And Michelle Duggar from the, you know, she's got like 100 kids. She spoke. She said she found she was yelling at her kids all the time. You know, and the same thing all of us parents do. Stop doing that. Stop doing this. Do this. Don't do that. And she said, and then one day I'm reading Galatians and I realize I have not parented with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit there says that I would be patient and I would be loving and I would be kind. And she said, I realized my parenting was none of those things.
Right.
So do you think that devotionals are a snapshot of maybe where we're trying to parent in our own strength and not in our weakness so that we can bring glory to God? You know, allowing, maybe even making the statement that Jesus is strong enough to parent here because he's inside of me. Versus, I've got to do it alone so I can get my kids, my family, closer to Jesus.
Right. Absolutely, I think that. I think we forget, and it isn't even just in our parenting, I mean in our own lives. We think, if I can just do these 10 steps, I'll be a better person, and I will accomplish whatever. I'll be a better wife, I'll be a better parent, I'll be a better husband. And we force those 10 steps on our children, too. If you sit and listen to this devotional, if you do what I say, and all the while, what we have in the gospel is believe. All you have to do is believe. And that releases us from so much pressure that we put on ourselves, that we put on our children to be good kids, that we put on ourselves to be good parents. And yeah, devotions is a perfect example of it, a perfect snapshot, like you said, of it. So we say, if you can sit and listen quietly and obey and answer all these questions, then I'll know that I'm doing a good job and I'll know that you're okay too. And we want to place trust in our methods. And we forget there's a Holy Spirit who saved generations after generation of people who really, it's His work. So what do we do as parents? That doesn't mean we just say, hey, it's up to the Holy Spirit. You do your work, and I'm just going to go and eat chocolate and watch TV instead of doing family devotions.
Hey, right now you're speaking some love languages to some of the women.
Yeah, that's right. So we're not saying go sit in front of TV and eat chocolate. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is grab a devotional and do it with your kids, or don't. The Holy Spirit will work. He will do His job. You can be assured of that. Now, when you realize that and remember that, you're free to do devotions and not be stressed out the entire time thinking, do they get it? Do they understand? They may or may not, but that's His work. And you can be free to confess that to your kids and talk to them and read through the devotions. You know, I even talk about in the beginning of my book, there's a letter to the parents that just says, you know, start by confessing your own sin to your kids. Talk to them about how, because there are questions at the end of each devotion in my book that would hopefully facilitate some sort of discussion. But in the introduction, in the letter to the parents, I say, you know, start by you talking. If they don't want to talk, don't force them. I mean, all that's going to do is make them angry and push them further away. So you talk about what you've got to say, and if they feel like they want to share, great. If they don't, fine. It's the Holy Spirit's work. It's not up to you.
And I know through Give Them Grace and Exploring Grace, it seems like you extend a lot of grace during this devotional times with your three children, the 15, the 13, the 10-year-old. Talk a little about grace and how that's been something that the Holy Spirit has impressed on your heart so that you extend it not only to your children and your family, but to others.
Right. Well, I can just say that since Give Them Grace came out and since we've been really trying to work through this paradigm shift with our kids, I have been a less angry person. Mm-hmm. I've come to realize again and again, I'm going to say it over and over, that salvation, it's not of me. I can't force my kids to love Jesus. So yeah, the way I grew up was there was a lot of law. It was a lot of do this, do that, be good. And we didn't really talk about Jesus all that much. Now, don't get me wrong. We went to church. My parents loved the Lord. We would go to church. Every time those doors were open, we were there. But there wasn't a lot of talk about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Initially, there was until we said, yeah, we believe that. And then after that, it was, okay, if you believe it, here's what you've got to do. And we forgot. I mean, my parents forgot. We didn't hear that there was actually more to the story. The story of the gospel, the story of grace, Jesus Christ, incarnation, His perfect life, His substitutionary death, His bodily resurrection, and His ongoing reign now from heaven, is everything to us. It's not the door that gets us. It's not just the door that gets us in. It's the entire room. It's the furniture we sit on. It's the lights we turn on. It's everything to us. Now with my children, when they do something wrong, I do discipline them and talk to them. I don't just say, oh, grace be on you. That's not it. We do talk about disobedience. But I remind them, for this very sin that you've committed, you're forgiven. You're standing in Christ's perfect righteousness right now if you believe. And He's praying for you right now. And not only those things, but He loves you in the middle of this. I think we have lost the message that Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. We don't want our kids to know that because then we're afraid they'll go off and sin. Here's a newsflash for everybody. Your kids are going to sin no matter what. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that might be shocking, but if you extend to them, Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners, and He's a Savior, and He loves people who need Him, then it's like it changes everything. Then they don't run from Him when they've sinned. They run to Him. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. In fact, I would agree wholly with it. We're doing a men's study in our church right now. I'm taking it through. And this theme that you've got, that you're presenting to us is something that I'm hearing over and over again, and it's something I've thought for a long time. In fact, it says it on the back of your book. It says children, they don't need behavior modification.
Right.
I mean, we can go to the bookstore, and there are a million self-help books on how I'm supposed to get my kids into the right direction. But what I'm finding is that kids and men and women and married couples, they don't need another how-to manual. Mm-hmm. They need an encounter with Jesus through the gospel. I think Eric Mason says a radical encounter with Jesus through the gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And so tell us maybe, you know, because you said your family grew up, and I think a lot of our families through a certain time period where there was more legalism, or at least we go here, we do this, we do these 10 right things, then we get to go to a right place.
Right.
So tell me how you had, maybe share with us how you had a radical encounter with the gospel that changed you, that said, you know what, this is not just for me. I want to multiply this message out because of what it's done in my own life.
Right. When my kids were young, we were going to a church that really was preaching the gospel. And I think that was probably, like I said, I have a 15-year-old. So maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, we started attending a church that was the message. The gospel isn't just the door. The gospel is the entire room. The gospel is all of life. And so the more we started going through that, and my mom had written a book called Because He Loves Me, and we had started talking about, how does the gospel change all of life? How does the gospel change parenting? And we had no idea, because we had grown up with this whole do this and live, not believe this and live. And grace says it's already all taken care of. So we started reading Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians, and that kind of blew our minds. I was reading it with my mom, and we started talking about, how does this change parenting? How does the gospel change parenting? And as we started reading that book and talking about it, talking about it with other friends, we again saw it's not just about this list, because quite honestly, they can go to a public school and get a list of morality rules, you know, the six pillars of character that everybody should abide by, and you're getting the exact same message in Christendom, and we're missing Jesus. So, you know, we started talking about it, and then it was like, it started just clicking in my head. Obviously, that's the Holy Spirit. I didn't do anything. It was just him saying, I'm going to show you. So, for instance, I had gone into the other room for a minute when my kids were 5 and 3. My boys were 5 and 3. I had walked into the other room, and I heard that scream. You know the scream. It's the something seriously wrong scream. I'd been gone for maybe a minute, right? I don't even know how they do this stuff in a minute. So I turn around, walk back into the room, and my 5-year-old boy is sitting on my 3-year-old boy, just beating him up. I mean, punching him, you know, in the body, in the face. And on my 5-year-old's back is a bite mark, I mean, bleeding. So my 3-year-old had clearly taken a hold of my 5-year-old's back. My 5-year-old flipped him on the ground and was beating him up. So I go over and I gently, with love in my heart, pick up my 5-year-old. No, I'm kidding. I grab him and take him off my 3-year-old, and I say to him, Wesley, you have to love your brother. Okay, that's all we ever heard growing up. You have to do this. But then the Holy Spirit worked, and he said, I can't. And I looked at him and I said, that's right, you need a Savior. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do those things. The point of all those rules is to drive us to Christ, to show us how deeply our need is for a rescuer. And so he says, I can't, and then I can immediately share the gospel with him. Right, baby. Exactly right. You can't do it on your own. We need Jesus. We need forgiveness. And so that little switch, I don't even know how that happened. I wish I could wax eloquent on it. I cannot. I can just tell you the Holy Spirit turned something on in my heart that day and in my life, where it was like, share more than just what they have to do. We need Jesus, and our kids need him, and he's there for us. That's the beautiful part. So I can say to him, you need a rescuer, you need a Savior, and guess what? we've got one.
You're ringing our bells. That's a comment we say when Jason and I get excited over a topic or something that an author or an artist is sharing that's God-honoring and yet so very practical for us all. In case you're just tuning in, we have Jessica Thompson on the phone with us. She's the author of Exploring Grace Together, which can be purchased at crossway.org. That's crossway.org. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org.
Jessica, in our last, 2 minutes together, you and your book in your instructions to the parents say that devotional time should be like a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So share with us in the class last minute something practical. How will parents take your book and begin to go on this treasure hunt with their kids? And what does that look like?
Well, what the book is it's a short story, a vignette, where it talks about bullying or someone dying or experiencing peer pressure at school, a short book. And most of those things are things that I have personally gone through or I've watched my kids go through. And then I take a Bible verse and show them how Jesus Christ is with them in that situation, how the gospel actually can even be pushed into that very situation they go through. And then at the very end, we kind of do the treasure hunt. So how do these things apply? How can we find the greatest treasure that's actually really out to find them? And we have a treasure that's after us, which is amazing to think about. And so in the end, we've got these questions that hopefully kids are able to go through. I've heard from so many parents already. The book's been out 2 weeks, and I've heard from more than a handful of parents, multiple parents who've told me how it has just stimulated great discussions and how their kids felt like they were the only one that felt that way. But come to find out, no, their parents feel that way too, and their brother and sister feel that way too, and how Jesus just loves them through it. So the greatest treasure would be Christ's love for you, God's love for you in Christ. And how do we find that? It's by seeing the gospel in everything we go through.
I love that comment. You referenced it, Jason, about behavior modification. Yeah, there's a place for that from
yes.
time to time, but it's inserting Jesus Christ into the conversation,
right.
into their hearts, allowing the Holy Spirit to be working in and through us and into the lives of these children, or really anyone we come in contact with.
Absolutely.
Well, Jessica, I just want to thank you. I mean, I know from even the short bit of blogging that you've been doing, and we'll send out some links to listeners so that they can be able to maybe interact with some of the great blogs you've done on resurgence.com. But I just so appreciate it, and my wife and I have put into practice the art of confession. When my son does something wrong, saying to him, you know what? I did that too. Let me share with you how I did it, how it made me feel.
Absolutely.
And let's together seek Jesus in this.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so good it's not this us against them anymore. Let's partner with our children. They're sinners just like you. They need Jesus just like you. And we've got this ability to come alongside of them instead of act like mommy and daddy, we're so good. Oh gosh, that just pushes them further into their sin. Let's just say to them, we're just like each other. Let's run to Jesus together.
The book is called Exploring Grace Together, the author, Jessica Thompson, and you can purchase multiple copies at crossway.org, crossway.org. You know, I'm thinking, Jason, because Jessica's kind of pressed for time and book signings and other places she has to go to and travel to, we might have to do a whole program on just those 10 devotional things. Maybe we can even do that tomorrow. You and I can go through her, what was that called?
How to Make Your Kids Hate Devotionals.
Yeah, I think that might be tomorrow's program where we're going to go through that with our radio listeners. Jessica, thank you for your blogging. Thank you for authoring and co-laboring with your mom. What a unique ministry that you can do that as a family. And kudos to your husband who's watching over your 3 kids while you travel. Great job. What's his name?
His name is Cody.
Hey, do a little shout out for Cody. Tell us something that you love about him.
Cody is the love of my life. We are high school sweethearts. We've been together more years than for what we've been married. We've been together more years than we were apart. So we started dating. I mean, I shouldn't use that word anymore. We met each other when I was 15 and he was 16, and we have been together ever since. I adore the man. He's the only one that would put up with me. So I'm grateful for that. Thanks so much, Mark, for having me on, and for Jason for talking about the blogs and just having a heart for your children. I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for this time that I got to spend with you guys.
Hey, thanks for being available.
Thank you.
Hey, Jessica.
Yes.
I do want to share this because it was kind of funny. You referenced it just a little bit when we were talking about confessional, but I think it was 2 weeks ago. My son, he's 8, and he's kind of a real precocious 8, real introspective, too. But my wife was correcting him on something he did wrong, and he looked at her, and he goes, you know, if I understand the Bible correctly, Mom, you're a sinner like I am. And my wife just looked at him, and she goes, Jason, I theologically knew that was true, but I wanted to jump out of my skin. And it was just a really great moment where she just kind of looked at him, and she goes, yes, I am, and went in the other room.
That's so funny. I came into my daughter's room. She was doing something awful once, like writing on the walls. This kind of girl she is, just crazy, crazy girl, wild, which right now is really hard. But when she becomes a strong woman, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But for right now, it's hard. And I came into the room, and I was like, sweetheart, what are you doing? You know, cutting her hair. I don't even know. She's like, Mom, I'm not dead yet. I'm still going to sin.
It's like when their theology gets ahead of steam, and you go, wait a second. Theologically, I can't argue with you anymore. When they taught my kid Romans 3:23 and Awana, it was like all my parenting was, I had to come up with something else. Because then they just go, well, Dad, all of us have sinned and fallen short.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for being available. I know you're on a time crunch and you got to leave, but we'll be praying you up and looking forward to future releases in your blogs and other ways. And we'll let our listeners know how they can get in touch with your book and get in touch with you. So have a great day.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
thank you,
Jessica.
Guys, too. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Jessica Thompson, author of Exploring Grace Together. You can purchase copies of that book at crossway.org, crossway.org. And I think, Jason, you were able to read some of Jessica's blogs at a certain site.
Yeah, Jessica has some great blogs, and it's at theresurgence.com/authors/Jessica Thompson. And there she's got 6 or 8 different blogs that are just great, ranging from parenting to holidays and how we interact, like with Halloween devotions. So great reading. She has some really interesting and yet honest thoughts about how we ought to engage our kids. And isn't that what our job is as parents, being responsible for leading our kids towards the Lord?
And I'm thinking we'll see if we can work this out, but maybe on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, we'll go through those 10 ways to keep your kids from getting involved in devotions.
Yeah.
That was our recorded conversation with Jessica Thompson a few days ago. My co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo's in Florida, enjoying a much-needed vacation with his family. And tomorrow you're going to hear us talk about that list, how to keep your children away from devotion time. One thing we don't want to keep you away from, and that's purchasing tickets for our community appreciation concert this Saturday night. Around 600 have sold, but we need 800 more of you to purchase tickets. Buy them now. Let's fill the Virginia Theater for this God-honoring event. General admission tickets, $15, and you can call 217-356-9063 or stop by thevirginia.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.